Parsons, you remember running the bath for Mr. Mountjoy on the evening of his death, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Did you turn on both taps at once?
No, sir. The hot tap first. I then tested the temperature of the water with the bath thermometer and reduced the heat by means of the cold tap to the number of degrees specified by Mr. Mountjoy, who was very particular in such matters.
Evidently. Now, would you remember exactly how high up the bath the level of the water was when you had finished your elaborate preparations?
Yes, sir. About there.
Got the measure, Boring?
Sir?
Good man.
9.3 inches down, sir.
But look here. When we took the body out, the water was right up to the overflow pipe.
Was it now? Yes, Boring?
5.1 inches down, sir.
Oh, this becomes interesting, Boring. Mm. Parsons, I want you to think carefully. At what time did Mr. Mountjoy enter the bathroom?
7:10, sir.
And what time was it when you heard him turn the water on again?
7:17, sir. I remember because Mr. Mountjoy was what you might call a quick bather, sir. In and out and dry and half-dressed inside a quarter of an hour he was. That's why I was particularly surprised he took such a long time that evening. Then I heard the taps turned on.
Taps? Both taps?
Yes, sir. Both at once. The two make quite a different noise from just the one.
Quite so. Go on.
Well, sir, I was puzzled. It was so unusual. In all the 6 weeks Mr. Mountjoy was here, I'd never known him stay in the bath like that.
Hmm. Now, one more question. Who came out of this bathroom directly afterwards carrying the bathroom stool?
Why, nobody, sir. How could they? There was nobody in there except Mr. Mountjoy.
Were you there the entire time?
I did go away for about 3 minutes, now I think of it, sir.
Oh, why?
Miss Eleanor had asked me to speak to Mabel Cobb about the flowers, sir.
Oh?
Oh, yes, sir. Immediately after lunch, Miss Eleanor said, "Oh, you might just tell Cobb that I've ordered more roses for this evening. She'd better see about them at once." Well, I'd forgotten. But when I heard Mr. Mountjoy turn the taps on, I thought I'd just have time to run downstairs.
I see. Thank you, Parsons. You have been of tremendous assistance.
Thank you, sir.
There goes an innocent manservant of impeccable bearing and a model witness, or one of the cleverest criminals unhung. And for the life of me, I can't tell which.
Well, you don't mean that you think Mountjoy was murdered?
I haven't the slightest doubt of it, Bing. I shall need to interview the entire household to find out who can be acquitted of suspicion.
Bing had been right about the awkward time of the murder. None of us had an alibi, apart from Mrs. Bradley.
Come, Mr. Carstairs, all the servants have alibis as well. By the way, you haven't forgotten the cliff walk you promised to show me, have you?
Cliff walk?
Yes.
I want to talk to you, and we daren't talk here.
No. Here comes young Phillipson already.
Oh. I say, I feel all of a dither. My delicate constitution won't stand much more of this. Look here. I'd like to tell you people something, and then perhaps you'll advise me whether to tell that policeman, Johnny.
Yes?
Well, it's only this. You know what a devil of a time Mountjoy was in that bathroom?
Yes.
Well, I waited and waited, you know, until at last I got so fed up that I went and twisted the handle of the door to hurry him up a bit.
Her?
Yes, her. Well, I swear the door was locked then.
Ah.
Oh.
And then someone inside squeaked out, "Don't come in!" Just like that. High-pitched, you know, and nervous. Well, of course, I yelled, "Sorry!" and came away. And it was after that I met you, Carstairs, coming out of the top-floor bathroom.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, well?
It wasn't Mountjoy's voice.
What?
I'm sure it wasn't. Mountjoy's voice was low-pitched and rather harsh. But this voice was high and rather shrill. An absolute woman's voice, if you understand me. Scared, you know?
Well, that's quite comprehensible, I think. You startled Mountjoy badly, I expect, and in her terror lest you should discover her secret, she shrieked at you in her normal instead of her disguised voice.
By Jove, I never thought of that. Jolly brainy of you to have thought that out, Mrs. Bradley.
Opinions differ.
Do you think I ought not to tell the police after all, then?
I should say not yet.
I'll keep mum, then. Thanks very much.
And now for our walk, Mr. Carstairs. Let us make for the sea. Oh, delightful.
Very. But we didn't come just to enjoy the sea air, did we?
No.
No. Queer about that voice young Phillipson heard. It must have been Mountjoy.
Oh, impossible. Mountjoy must have been dead by that time.
Yes, but your own perfectly plausible explanation just now...
Merely to put young Phillipson off the scent. You see, the guilty person must never know that anybody suspects anything. It would be fatal. If my deductions are correct... And as they're based on pure psychology, I don't suppose they'll turn out to be at fault. We have to deal with a person who values life so little that she will stick at nothing.
She? But surely this wasn't a woman's crime.
I am sure of it.
But the climb from the balcony to window...
Not at all difficult. I could do it if I were an inch longer in the leg. Look here. Who knew that Mountjoy was a woman?
No one.
Are you sure? Surely you can put your finger on the person in the house who hated Mountjoy with the intense and bitter hatred of one whose finest feelings, whose noblest emotions have been played with, huh? Mocked at, scorned, derided.
Good. God, of course.
Let us go back to the house. Poor, poor girl.
Yes. Do you really mean that?
Of course. We're all murderers. Some in deed and some in thought. This one saw her opportunity and...
Dinner, by tacit consent, was a cheerful meal. Only Bertie Phillipson appeared preoccupied, and after dinner, Mrs. Bradley dragged him out into the moonlit garden.
Mr. Phillipson, we can speak freely out here. Eleanor's been making herself a nuisance to you, hasn't she?
What? How on earth do you know?
Tell me all about it.
Well... When I stayed here 2 years ago, Eleanor began to suggest that I should, well, fall in love with her, I suppose you call it. Mm-hmm. Once, she asked me outright to marry her. I tried to let her down lightly, you know. Then she made a suggestion. I can't go into that. But I let her see how horrified I was and made some excuse to old Bing and left. Well, I only came down here this time because Guard said Eleanor was engaged... And I was keen to see Dorothy again. Mm-hmm. And I thought Mountjoy had probably put me out of the running.
Yes.
Well, all was right as rain until Monday evening after dinner. And then she started leaning against me and trying to hold my beastly hand. It was awful.
Monday? Are you positive? The day before Mountjoy died.
Positive? Because I remember thinking on Tuesday... Eleanor will surely have more sense of decency than to come and maul me tonight. And it was all right on Tuesday night. But on Wednesday, that is last night, well, she came to my bedroom about 12:30 and wanted to stay there. I had to shove her outside and lock the door. Choice, isn't it?
Well, of course you will lock your door tonight.
You bet I shall.
Yes. Well, leave everything else to me. Shall we go in?
Ah, here you are, Bertie.
Hello, guy.
What about the light fantastic, Father? Shall we be treading on your corns? House of mourning and so on?
What's that?
I thought we'd have some dancing.
Oh, yes. By all means, my boy, if the others would like it.
Brother!
I shall go to my study.
I think I'll come with you, Father. I could look up your references for you if you like.
I'm glad Sis has gone. She hates dancing. Right, what shall we have?
Foxtrot is the only thing I can manage.
Foxtrot it is.
I'll work the machinery.
No.
No.
You won't.
Oh.
Take Dorothy. She refuses to dance with me. Carry on.
Come on then, Dorothy.
Mrs. Bradley, will you do me the honour?
The honour is all mine, sir.
I say, you don't think that weirdo woman is the Juicy Jimmy who did in that Mountjoy, do you?
Mrs. Bradley?
Yeah.
Oh, good gracious, no.
All right, only to me. A little touch of reverse. That's the way. Only to me, she looks the sort of Caesar Borgia Nero de Medici who would fluff out her own mother for the fun of it. Don't you think so?
She's a very gifted woman. Bertie, where are we going?
Out into the hall.
More room to, don't you know? So that I can,
Beast! Don't you know that I'm on the verge of being married to Garth?
More's the pity.
Oh, let go, idiot! Oh, Eleanor.
I say, Eleanor, please go and ask Garth to shove on a waltz. I feel in the mood for it.
So it appears.
Tell him that I'll lend him his wench for the next dance for three. If he's a good boy, that is.
Oh, put me down, fool. Quicker, I'll tell my young man. Such goings on.
There, there, my pretty one. Did I ruffle its pretty feathers then?
Eleanor. What the? That's my clock, you bad girl.
Be careful, Dorothy, or cut yourself.
Any damage?
Good heavens, what a fuss.
I'm so sorry, Dorothy. Don't mention it. It really doesn't matter a scrap.
Dorothy, dear. Leave them to clear up the mess and come out for a breath of air.
Did you say it was your clock? Your own actual property?
Yes. I always take it with me when I visit people. It's like a friendly voice if I wake up in the night. But why should Eleanor be carrying it about the house?
What were you doing when she dropped it?
That ass Bertie was trying to kiss me. He doesn't mean anything by it.
I see. Dorothy, I want you to do something for me. I'm going to make a little experiment tonight. Would you mind sleeping in the other twin bed in my room?
Well,
Just for one night. And you mustn't tell anyone what we're going to do.
Not even Garth. You see, ever since the murder, I haven't felt safe with anyone except Garth. I had a bad car smash last year, and it's made me stupidly nervous. I know it's silly, because the only person who had any reason to do such a dreadful thing was the most unlikely of all of us.
Who?
Why, Eleanor.
What makes you say she had a reason?
Well, I know she wasn't happy because she came into my room weeping and saying she didn't know what to do.
About what?
About her engagement. I said if she felt unhappy about it, she should break it off.
Excellent advice. What did Eleanor say?
That she'd have to go through with it because of the shame. Of course, you can see what I thought she meant, Mrs. Bradley. Even though I could scarcely imagine prim Eleanor getting herself into that sort of muddle. But now I know she must have...
Yes?
Well, found out about Everard Mountjoy's sex. So really, it was a blessing he... I mean, she was drowned, from Eleanor's point of view.
Yes. I expect that was Eleanor's point of view. When did this touching conversation take place, by the way?
While I was getting ready for dinner on Tuesday. I'd only just arrived, you know, and I'd realized I'd left my powder compact in the motor. So I had to dash down and get it.
Leaving Eleanor in your bedroom? I see. Well, my dear, you may tell your fiancé about tonight's experiment, but nobody else. Listen, while I tell you what to do.
Here I am, Mrs. Bradley.
Finished everything?
Yes, everything. The dummy looked horribly lifelike in my bed. I put my shingle cap on it. I'm cold.
No, scared. Never mind. Get into bed. Quietly, mind. It's tremendously important that no one knows you're here. Good night, my dear. scream. What did you think it was?
Oh, isn't it horrible?
Yes, it is, but it might have been worse.
What's going on?
Calm yourself, Eleanor.
It wasn't you screaming and
dying.
Eleanor, do please calm yourself and speak coherently. And silence, please. Mabel, Parsons, silence. Now then, Eleanor, tell us what has happened.
I had neuralgia, and I thought Dorothy might have some aspirin. So I went into her room to ask for it. And well, go and see for yourselves. It's horrible.
God, don't leave Dorothy's side until I come back.
Oh, right.
Now, Eleanor, come along. Come with me. I'm going to give you something to make you sleep, and when you've taken it, I'll send someone along to see how you are.
No! No! Don't send anybody! I only want to be left alone. Please!
The rest of us went into Dorothy's room. Lying on the bed was a dummy, its head cunningly fashioned from a Guy Fawkes mask, partly obscured by a rose-pink shingle cap. Gruesome enough in all conscience, but what was infinitely worse was the fact that the head was staved in as though from a terrific blow, and lying across the dainty coverlet was a heavy poker. We were still recovering from our first sight of this monstrosity when Mrs. Bradley arrived.
Just look at this, Mrs. Bradley, will you? I think we must be harboring a maniac.
Yes. Nasty.
Nasty. It's frightful.
The poker. Yes.
But supposing I had been lying there instead of the dummy?
Well, you weren't. So it's all right.
But I should have been, if it hadn't been for Mrs. Bradley.
Hey? What's that?
It's true. I should have been sleeping here tonight if Mrs. Bradley hadn't suggested this experiment.
You mean it was your idea to fashion this frightful effigy, Mrs. Bradley? But had you any reason, any inkling of any...
Just an intuition.
Oh, rubbish, rubbish!
Good Lord, Father. There's no need to be rude to Mrs. Bradley.
Well...
Of course, you're rattled. So am I. And I bet poor old Sis was rattled when she came in and saw that lovely sight. And say what you like, it was no practical joker who handed out that blacksmith blow. What do you say, Mr. Carstairs?
I think this is the most ghastly attempt at murder I ever knew about. Oh, how foolish of me. I'm so sorry I said that.
Where shall I take her? Your room, Mrs. Bradley.
By all means, I shall accompany you. And I suggest that everyone should try to get some sleep. We can continue our discussions at breakfast.
I thought the end of the world was come, and that we were listening to the last shriek of the damned.
So did I.
Absolutely.
Eleanor is apparently washing off the shock. At least the bathroom door was locked, and I assumed it was Eleanor.
Poor Eleanor.
By the way, Bertie, where were you last night?
Well, I did begin to get up, but when I saw the mobs of people on the landing, I thought I might as well get back to bed.
Well, I'm jolly glad Dorothy was sleeping in Mrs. Bradley's room. I knew she was going to, of course.
Yes, so did I.
What?
I overheard your conversation with Dorothy.
The devil. So you knew where she was all the time.
Yes, but it's a beastly business. I mean, anyone who would want to put a topping girl like Dorothy out of the way must be absolutely mad.
Eleanor!
What?
What's Eleanor!
What's the matter, Alistair?
Where is Eleanor?
In the bathroom, that horrible place! Oh, I should have locked it up and disconnected the water. Get her out!
This time the bathroom door was locked, so we forced it open while Mrs. Bradley telephoned for the doctor. Sure enough, Eleanor was inside, clad in her dressing gown, lying over the side of the bath with her head touching the bottom.
Oh, heavens!
Good God! She's drowned.
We carried her into her bedroom and attempted artificial respiration. Bertie worked like one possessed. Eventually, the doctor arrived.
That's enough, Phillipson. You're exhausted. You take a turn now, young Bing.
Right you are, Doctor.
She wasn't actually in the bath, you say, Mr. Carstairs?
No. Her feet were on the floor, but her head was touching the bottom of the bath. She had the waist plug chain twisted round her hand.
So there was no water in the bath?
No. There's another thing, Doctor.
Doctor! Ah, that's it. She'll do. A dose of sal volatile, and she'll be as right as rain.
Phillips. Oh, he's passed out.
Silly fool. Haul him off her. Might cause the poor girl to bite her tongue clean off, falling all over her like that just when she's coming round. Now, my dear, take hold of this glass.
Eleanor, my dear, Sir Joseph and Inspector Boring have asked to see you.
I hope you feel better, Miss Bing.
Quite. I thank you.
Oh, glad to hear it. Well, if you feel equal to doing so, we should like you to answer a few questions.
I should like to request my father to descend to the study for a copy of one of the Latin authors.
Which one, my dear?
Anyone you like. But don't return with it in less than a quarter of an hour. I imagine these gentlemen will have concluded their inquisition by that time.
Yes. And now, Miss Bing, we want you to tell us what caused you to fall headfirst into the bath this morning.
I was overcome by a feeling of extreme faintness and was unable to call for help before I was wrapped in complete oblivion. The only wonder is that I am alive to tell the tale, or so I am informed by those who rescued me.
Yes, yours is a devoted family circle.
Oh, come now, Miss Bing, there's no need for us to fence. Who are you shielding?
Fence? Shielding? Pray, explain yourself.
Who attempted to murder you in the bathroom this morning? Come now.
My dear Inspector, you are talking the most utter nonsense. Nobody attempted any such thing. I fainted, as I have told you. That is all I can say. And as I am still weak, I feel sure you will relieve me of your presence as soon as possible.
Yes. Of course she's lying.
You mean...
Sir, somebody half-throttled that young woman. I spotted the bruises on her neck.
You sound sympathetic, Boring.
Well, I can understand his feelings. There are some women that are past all bearing, and Miss Eleanor Bing is one of them. Now, I wonder who she's shielding. What do you say to a little general interrogation, sir?
Carry on, Boring, carry on.
Now, Miss Clark, who in this house had any reason to wish you dead?
You mustn't ask me.
Oh, come now, Miss Clark.
All right, I'll tell you. It was Eleanor who hated me. She always has. But she didn't try to kill me. I'm sure she didn't.
And why are you so sure?
It would be too horrible.
Yes, I agree, Miss Clark.
Thank you, Miss Clark. That will be all.
I'll ask God to come in, shall I?
If you would, please. Fingerprints might settle the matter, sir.
On the poker, you mean? Perhaps. Ah, come in and sit down, Mr. Bing.
Right.
Are you strongly attached to your sister?
No.
No? Before or after you knew of her inimical feelings towards your fiancé?
I didn't know that Eleanor didn't like Dorothy. That's news to me, I assure you. This is never demonstrative, you know.
I see. Any questions, Boring?
No, thank you, sir. That'll be all, Mr. Bing.
Right you are. I'll get Carstairs.
Well now, Mr. Carstairs, who killed Mountjoy?
To the best of my knowledge, Mountjoy was the victim of an accident.
But yesterday you said...
I've changed my mind. Good morning.
Of course, you won't be able to shuffle like that in the witness box. Who's next? Ah, good morning, Mrs. Bradley.
Good morning, gentlemen. Now, then, I should like to make a statement.
Yes, of course. I take it, Boring, will you? Yes,
sir. When I was invited to stay at this house, I was intensely interested from the start in Eleanor Bing's psychological makeup. Staying here was the woman Mountjoy. We all thought she was a man. Obviously, Eleanor thought so, too, for they became engaged to be married. And less than a fortnight later, Mountjoy met her death. I think you had doubts yesterday, Sir Joseph, as to the cause of that death.
Frankly, Mrs. Bradley, I think Mountjoy was murdered.
Then if I tell you that I had reason to believe that the murderer of Mountjoy had designs also upon the life of Dorothy Clark, you won't be surprised that I took the girl into my room.
Well, we'd like to know what made you think an attempt would be made on the girl's life. Also, of course, we'd be interested to know the identity of the murderer.
Until this morning, I should have said it was Eleanor Bing. Huh? Now I am not at all sure that Mountjoy wasn't the victim of an accident.
How did you fix on Eleanor Bing?
I haven't any proofs which a jury would consider evidence, but I could suggest a motive.
Now, that has puzzled me a good deal, the apparent absence of motive.
I present you the picture of a woman 28 to 30 years of age, intelligent and healthy, but emotionally starved. One day a man comes into her life. They find mutual attraction in one another's society. They become engaged.
Yes, now, why did the woman, Mountjoy, allow herself to become engaged to poor Miss Bing?
It may be that Mountjoy was urgently in need of money. Eleanor has a comfortable fortune, and the other woman may have counted on her dupe's fear of ridicule being strong enough to keep the secret of Mountjoy's sex. The other explanation may sound to you extraordinary, but it is more probably the correct one. Have you heard of sexual perversion?
Not a pleasant subject.
Well, I don't propose to discuss it. But I do suggest to you that Mountjoy may have formed a very real and very strong attachment to Eleanor.
It is a possibility, of course.
Whatever happened, one thing must be regarded as certain. In some way, Eleanor discovered the truth about her lover.
Motive. Revenge on the person who had deceived her.
Exactly. That's what I should have said. Until this morning.
That is certainly a very ingenious theory, Mrs. Bradley. It does provide a strong motive for the crime.
Did they tell you about the watch?
Watch?
Mountjoy's watch, which was discovered by me at the bottom of the washstand jug. Drowned watch? Drowned woman? That concludes my voluntary statement, gentlemen.
But what exactly made you think there would be an attempt on Miss Clark's life?
Oh, I knew that Eleanor would kill the girl if she could. For one thing, Eleanor is quite mad, you know.
Oh, I think you're wrong. We talked with Miss Bing this morning, and I never saw anyone who appeared more entirely in possession of all her mental faculties.
And then the clock clinched it. Oh, I didn't tell you how she smashed the clock.
Clock?
What clock?
The Freudian clock. Dorothy's clock. Smash, clock, smashed woman. My dear man, she positively flung it on the ground when she saw them kissing.
I think we are wasting time, madam. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Oh, that is a nasty cough, Inspector. Hot lemon and honey is very efficacious, I believe.
Let's go and have some food. That woman unnerves me.
I agree. I don't like the look nor the sound of her. Unless I'm much mistaken, she's a very cool customer and needs watching.
What about the blue boar for lunch? And this afternoon we must get on with the fingerprinting.
I was rather disappointed not to be included in the fingerprinting process. It appeared that my thumbprint was so clearly different from that found on the poker that it would have been a waste of police time. It was at this point, that is, on Saturday morning, that Inspector Boring began to confide in me.
You're looking very jovial this morning, if I may say so, Mr. Carstairs.
Oh, yes. I'm going to a wedding.
Oh.
Mr. Guard Bing and Miss Clark are getting married by special license.
Are they, by Jove? Oh, that's a bit out of the ordinary, isn't it, sir?
mean, yesterday we take everybody's fingerprints, and today these two go and get married.
Well, I really can't see that the two things have anything to do with one another.
Can't you, sir? Well, I can't prove Miss Mountjoy was murdered, and yet I know, the same as you know, that murder was done.
But I don't know that murder was done. As I told you yesterday, I've changed my mind.
Oh, now, Mr. Carstairs. If Mountjoy wasn't murdered, why did someone try to kill Miss Bing? I mean, somebody still thinks she was the murderer. And why are these two people in such a hurry to get married? Special license, indeed.
Or perhaps they think Miss Clark stands in need of a husband's protection.
Protection? Mr. Costes, you've hit it. They're afraid of another attempt on her life. And that brings us back to Eleanor Bing and this.
What? A bottle of aspirin? What does that prove, Inspector?
That Miss Bing is a very poor liar. Didn't she say that she went into Miss Clark's room on Thursday night for aspirin for her neuralgia? Huh? Well, I found this bottle in the very front of the little cupboard in her own room. The label says 50 tablets. The bottle contains 31, and it's fairly safe to assume that she hasn't taken 19 since Thursday, so they were bought before then. This, taken in conjunction with the fact that the fingerprints on the poker show that Miss Bing was the last person to handle it, justifies me in assuming that she dealt the blow to that dummy. Hope I haven't been boring you. I don't usually say off a whole long piece like that, but I wanted to get the hang of my ideas.
Inspector, you belie your name.
Beg your pardon, sir?
Boring. You most certainly are not.
Thank you, sir. Oh, I think I'll just go and establish, if I can, exactly when this aspirin was purchased. I hope you enjoy the wedding.